Thing to say about that. It's the Lord's doing. We're honored to come and do it, but had not the Lord so arranged it by his good and sovereign providence, enabled us to come here for 6 years almost every Sunday night. We no way could have done that, but the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is gracious, and the Lord is determined to raise up a gospel ministry here, and I'm just thankful to have a part in it, a very small part on my part, but such a privilege to come and be with you again and see old friends for years and years and years. We've known each other, many of you, for 30, 40 years. I want you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 3. And I have a message from the Lord, because this is his word, this is his gospel, so I can say with confidence I have a message for you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 3, look at verse 10. Isaiah 3 verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doing. The fruit of their doing is what Christ has done for us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It shall be well with the righteous. You say to them, those righteous are those righteous in Christ. Those righteous are those believers called and saved by God's grace. It shall be well with the righteous. Verse 11, woe unto the wicked. Woe unto that man who rebels against the sovereign grace of God. It won't be well with that man. It will be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. The wages of sin is death. I don't want what's coming to me. I want mercy and grace. The wages of sin is nothing but death. So the title I'm taking for the message is obvious, and here's what we want to talk about tonight. It shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well with the righteous. The righteous, it shall be well. Now, I asked Brother Stan to read Psalm 71, and I did that for purpose, because did you notice as we were reading down through Psalm 71 how many times it mentions there in verse 2, deliver me in thy righteousness. 5 times he talks about this righteousness. Deliver me in thy righteousness. And then down to verse 15 of Psalm 71, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Verse 16, the third time he says, I'll go in the strength of the Lord. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. I don't want to talk about my righteousness. As Isaiah said over in another place, it's just filthy rags in God's sight. Down at verse 19, the fourth time it's mentioned, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? It shall be well with the righteous. Verse 24 of that same psalm, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. We're going to talk about righteousness. We're going to talk about his righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded. They are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Righteousness, it shall be well with the righteous. Now, this blessed promise of God, and all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, and to the glory of God. All the promises of God given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ are sweet, sweet, precious promises. This blessed promise of God is not given to all men without distinction, we read here in Isaiah 3:10. For the text does not say that it shall be well with all men. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say it shall be well with all men without exception. Without exception, does it? Not at all. It shall be well only with the righteous. The righteous. That is, those who are justified before God by the sovereign grace of God. those who have been cleared of all guilt, those to whom the Lord Jesus Christ has put away their sin, those who in Christ have honored the law of God, those who through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ have been freely justified by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall be well with those. It shall be well with those believers. God boldly says that it shall be well, but God also boldly says that it shall be ill for the wicked. Woe, woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill. And that word there, ill, can be rendered, it'll be bad. You talk about a bad day. Stand before God without an atonement for sin, that'll be a bad day. Sorrow, distress, misery for that man, for the wages of sin is nothing but death. Those who live in unbelief and rebellion against the God of Holy Scripture will die as they live, without God, without Christ, and without hope. It won't be well with those who die without the Savior. Our Lord said this, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. To die in your sin will be to be raised in your sin and to face God in your sin and to spend eternity in your sin. It'll be well with the righteous in that day of judgment, that day of eternity. It'll be well. It'll be well. It won't be well for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be what? Anathema, maranatha. Let him be cursed when the Lord comes. Our Lord plainly says in his word, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God. You see, believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ takes the almighty power of God. We only believe according to the working of God's mighty power. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe the gospel. By nature, I'm an unbeliever. I'm born that way. Without God, without hope, and without Christ. It's only by the grace of God that he has made us to differ. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? Everything we have, know, and are. We can say with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, who are these righteous and how are they made righteous? Who are these righteous and how are they made righteous? Who are the righteous? Well, it's none of us by nature. Remember the description that's given to us in Romans chapter 3 where he said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. There is none good, no, not one. So right away we know from the testimony of Scripture that by nature none of us are righteous. We're just the complete opposite of that, ungodly, ungodly. Who are the righteous? Who are those that are justified before God? There's only one plain, right, true answer. Those who are found in Christ. That's why Paul said, I count everything else, dung, ruin, and loss, that I might win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, received by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is all our righteousness before God. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is all our righteousness before God. You see, we're accepted in the Beloved. And our Beloved, who is altogether lovely, he is called the Lord, our righteousness. If you're a believer, you have a blessed, perfect righteousness given unto you by God's sovereign grace, and he looks at you and considers you perfectly justified and righteous in his sight. Can you get hold of that? He presents us before the Father's throne, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Righteous, it shall be well. You see what he's saying here? It shall be well with the righteous. Who are they? Those found in Christ. Those who are looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. How are they made righteous? Or how are they justified before God? Well, certainly not by anything we do. Is it? Not at all. not by our works, not by our giving, not by our doing, but rather by his grace alone. And we have to add sovereign grace. He said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. How are they made righteous, or how are they justified before God? Certainly not by something we do. You remember the scripture where Paul writes to Titus and he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He saved us, he called us, he justified us by his grace. So it's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. That was Paul's testimony to Timothy as he sits on death row waiting to be executed. And he writes back to Timothy and said, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In that gospel, I like what it says in the book of Romans about this righteousness that's of God. It's all of him. It's the same as saying that salvation is of the Lord alone. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Romans 10, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We have honored the law of God. We've magnified the law of God in Christ Jesus. And every precept and every penalty, that law has been honored. It shall be well with the righteous. You see what he's saying here? God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God? Are you sure? Is that what it says? That's what it says. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, I was up there preaching in Rocky Mount, years and years and years ago. And I quoted this hymn when I was there, and Gabe followed me out to the parking lot after, and he said, tell me, give me that song again. He said, I want to write those words down. And here's just a line of it. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I rest my hope eternally on Christ my substitute. You see, the hope we have in Christ, as Paul said, he's given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this hope we have in Christ is a good hope through grace, through the grace of God. Through the grace of God alone. One of the interesting things that I've noticed over the years of studying the Word of God, I found something most remarkable. Those who were truly made righteous in Christ readily and openly and quickly confess that in themselves they are wicked, sinful, and ungodly. Those who are truly made righteous in Christ, they consider themselves, and their testimony of themselves is, O wretched man that I am, I'm the chief of sinners. As Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And then Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. This man was the righteous apostle, made so by the sovereign grace of God, and yet he considered himself the worst sinner that ever lived. Those who are truly made righteous in Christ know what they are by nature. Something else I've noticed, those who are truly wicked, without hope and without God and without salvation, they claim to be righteous, don't they? They go about to establish a righteousness of their own, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you a big mistake people make in religious circles and really everywhere, even people who are non-religious, they mistake their morality for righteousness. They think, well, you know, I'm a pretty good fella. We have that saying, you know, he's a good man or she's a good woman. Well, I know what they mean. They don't rob banks. They don't, you know, they're not have a what do they call it, a warrant for your arrest, and they work good for their livelihood, and they pay their bills. They don't beat their wife, and they're good guys and they're good neighbors. My friend, morality is not righteousness, not before God. Because he says over here in Isaiah 64 that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. Man, his best state is altogether vanity. At his best state. You remember those in Matthew 7 said, Lord, we preached in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. We've done all of these right, moral, religious works. And the Lord comes back and said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. I don't love you. Never have. The Pharisee prayed and prayed and prayed and thanked himself that he wasn't this or that or ever. He said, I'm a moral good man. And the Lord said, that man went home condemned. The publican who condemned himself was justified, and the Pharisee who justified himself was condemned. Our Lord said to those Pharisees, you or they would justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So don't ever make that fatal mistake, thinking morality is righteousness. It's not. Now, I'm all in on morality. You ought to be the best you can, be honest, be hardworking, be a good father, be a good mother, be a good student. But that's not righteousness. Christ alone is our righteousness. It shall be well with the righteous. And it truly is. It truly is. We as believers rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship God in the Spirit. And we have no confidence in this flesh. None at all. I've been in the way a few years, 40 some years, I've believed the gospel by the grace of God. And I have learned more and more, and the Lord has taught me more and more to have no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ alone because he is the Lord our righteousness. God instructs his ministers to say, it shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well with the believer. You remember when the Apostle Paul, it's recorded in Acts 13, his first sermon that he preached, he said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins through the God-man mediator. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the deeds of the law. By the deeds of the law shall... Well, how many folks should be justified by the deeds of the law? By the doing of the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I love that scripture over there in Galatians 2:21 where it says, if righteousness come by the law, if righteousness is by what I do, if righteousness is by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. No need for him to come. If I can get it done myself. If I can keep the law and observe the law and all these different things. If I can do it, I don't need him. But the law of God, you know what it says? Shut your mouth. Stop your mouth. The law of God says you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty before the law. You know, the good news of the gospel is salvation is for the guilty. There's grace for the guilty. There's mercy for the miserable. There's salvation for ruined sinners. I mean thoroughly ruined, completely ruined. We use that term total depravity. I don't know if that kind of puts it in an educated light. Total depravity. Let's get right down to it. We're vile, wretched, miserable, guilty sinners before God. That's total depravity. Total depravity. We know something of it, but not totally. I think it was Newton that said years ago, if I fully understood just how totally depraved I am, I'd go crazy. Thank God for his grace. We know something about our sin, but not totally, not completely. It's well with the believer. And it, you know, I thought about this. In this life, it can't get any better for the believer. It can't get any better for the believer now. In him dwells all the fullness, that is in Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and we're complete. We're complete in him. We're completely forgiven. We're completely justified. We're completely made righteous in God's sight. Now think about this. The believer is well fed, for he feeds abundantly upon Christ, the bread of life, and Christ, the water of life. He's well fed. He's well clothed, for he wears the very garments of salvation tailored by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Don't turn, let me just read it to you. Over here in Isaiah 61, he talks about the garments of salvation. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. You see, I'm well fed, I'm well clothed, I'm well housed as a believer. I'm well housed. He has put me in his kingdom. We live as believers in the household of God, set upon a sure foundation that God has laid for us in Zion. He said, behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth on him will never be forced out, never be confounded, never be ashamed. We're well housed. Resting on that foundation, it will never be swept away. The believers also well married too. Well married. For the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is married to the Lord Jesus Christ in that eternal covenant of grace that's ordered in all things and is sure. It says this in Isaiah 54. It says this, thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He's our husband. We're married to the Lord Jesus Christ in that eternal covenant of grace. He loved the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it holy, unblameable, unreprovable, in the sight of God. We're well married. We're married to Christ. We're united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that eternal union can never be severed. He'll never divorce his people. He'll never separate himself from his people. I and them, thou and me, that we may be made perfect in one in the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall be well with the righteous. You see what he's saying there? That's our message. That's our message. That's the gospel. That's good news. That's good news. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. What is that word? Sinners. And Paul said, I'm the chief one. I was before a blasphemer. I caused injury. I did all these horrible, terrible things, yet I obtained mercy. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love. It's a faithful saying. It shall be well with the righteous at all times and all seasons, not just some days, but all days. There's no time included, so all time is included. No occasion is singled out, because upon every occasion, this is a true and faithful saying, it shall be well with the righteous. A lot of times you think, well, I'm having a bad day. Well, I know what you're saying. Life is full of heartache and trouble, but it shall be well with the righteous. Remember that next time you're up against it. And things at work are going terrible, and the neighborhood's in an uproar, and it shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well from the rising of the sun until the sunset. In young age and old age, no age is included or excluded. It shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well. I can boldly repeat what God has already said. Someone said, I believe it may have been Brother Scott years ago, he said, you know what preaching is? I tell you, young fellas, you want to know what preaching is? It's repeating what God's already said. That's all it is. I don't have anything new to say. I just come with the same message over and over and over again. And one other preacher said this, preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. It shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well with the righteous. That's why the psalmist said, my tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. That's our message. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is our redemption. He's put away all of our sin by the sacrifice of himself. It shall be well with the righteous because they have no sin. It shall be well with the righteous because he has made us righteous in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to turn to Scripture. I want you to see this. I want you to mark this. I remember, turn to Isaiah 32, I believe it is. Isaiah 32. This verse is down through the years been giving me much peace and comfort. Because look what it says here. Isaiah 32:17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Now, whose righteousness here we're talking about? Who made peace? The Lord Jesus Christ made peace for us with his own blood. Now, don't do what a lot of religious people say, especially up in Pike County area. They say, well, I'm trying to make peace with God. Forget it. You can't do it. The Lord Jesus Christ made peace for us with his own blood. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Being justified by faith, you remember Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of that righteousness, what's the effect of it? Quietness and assurance forever. Is that good? My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in a sure dwellings. This covenant of grace, as David said, is ordered in all things, and sure, this is all my hope, all my salvation, and in a quiet, resting place. Isn't that a good scripture? Mark that down and go back and read it later on today and tomorrow, and think about this peace we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is a river forever overflowing, a river of blessings, flooding his people with spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn over to one other place there in Isaiah and mark this one too, this is another good scripture, Isaiah 32. Turn there. Verse 1 says, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The Lord blesses us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a river forever flowing with all spiritual blessing given unto us. He is an ocean of never failing delights. David said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mountain of endless and abundant mercy. Turn over here to Isaiah 55. You know, some of the old timers called the gospel Isaiah, they called it the gospel according to Isaiah. Some said that Isaiah ought to be the fifth evangelist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Isaiah. Isaiah 55, look at verse 1. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6, Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon his people. It shall be well with the righteous. I'll give you several reasons more. Considering what we are by nature, sinful and wicked. We say with David, our sin is ever before us. But our sin being dealt with and put away by the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious sacrifice for us. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We can say, it shall be well with the righteous, for we are made righteous through his doing and his dying. Turn back over to Isaiah 1. Isaiah number 1, chapter 1, verse 18. Come now. You see, he's dealt with our sin. The sin question has been settled. The blood atonement of Christ put away all our sin. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It shall be well because the Lord Jesus Christ has put away our sin. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. It shall be well with the righteous. By nature, I'm sick. I'm sick, dead in sin, dead in, you know how dead we are? Dead and smelly. As one old preacher said years ago, graveyard dead. Graveyard dead, dead in sin. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he put away our sin. We have redemption through his blood. We, with his stripes, we are healed. We're healed. I was reading over here in Psalm 32, and David quotes this or writes this, and the Apostle Paul picks this up in Romans 4. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Transgression, forgiven, sin, covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And the Apostle Paul writes this in Romans 4, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Without works. The Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with our sin and put our sin away as far as the east from the west. One day our sin separated us from God. It says that over here, what, in Isaiah, is it 59? Isaiah 59. Our sin has separated us from God. But think about this. Now in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has separated our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. He said their sin and their iniquity. Well, I remember. Now, how powerful and prevailing is the blood atonement of Christ? It's not weak and anemic. It's so powerful and prevailing that God said their sin, their iniquity, will I remember no more. I call that effectual atonement. I call that atonement that got it done. He got the job done. He put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. So it shall be well with the righteous. When we talk about our sin is against God, we've all sinned against God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because of the blood atonement of Christ, the blood atonement of Christ does what? What does it do? His blood, God's Son, cleanses us from most of our sin. That's not what it says. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. All of it. All of it. Not some of it. All of it. Those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died, it shall be well with them. Secondly, in a day of trial and trouble and heartache, it shall be well with the righteous. You see, all things do work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to God's purpose. In a day of heartache, trial, and trouble, it shall be well with the righteous. The apostle writes this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our Lord writes this to his disciples. He says this to his disciples right before he getting ready to be arrested and die for our sin, according to Scripture. He said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. That word overcome is the same word that's used in Revelation 6:2, where it says he went forth conquering and to conquer. He's the conqueror. He conquered our sin. and he put it away. Be of good cheer, I have overcome. There's a song in our songbook written by Horatio Spafford. You've sung it many times on page 256 or 265, one of the two. But he wrote, you remember the song, It's Well With My Soul, written in 1850. It was written upon the loss of his four daughters. He had four daughters. And they were on a trip with their mother, and the ship went down, and the four daughters perished. And his wife sent a telegraph back to Horatio Spafford, who was still over, I believe, in Chicago. And the telegraph had two words, saved alone. He lost those four lovely daughters. And he sat down and he penned these words. You remember? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It shall be well with the righteous. My sin, oh, the bliss of his glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. You see, he dealt with our sin, put it away. And the trials and troubles that he sends our way are for our good. Whom the Father loveth, he chasteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Man that's born of woman, just a few days. We talked about that a few days. Bob and I have been friends for over 40 years, but it just seems like that, doesn't it? Just goes by so quickly, so quickly. Man that's born of woman, a few days and full of trouble. The believer is not free from trouble, but God has promised us grace for every trial. And his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Remember this promise, 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for thee. Remember the apostle had that thorn in the flesh and he cried unto the Lord to remove it. Oh, it hurt so bad. Remove it. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The believer does have trials, but faith endures, and faith overcomes, and love accepts them, seeing they come from the hand of our loving Father. You remember Joseph, when his brothers sold him into slavery. Boy, he had some trouble, didn't he? In the pit, on the slave market, a slave in the house, falsely accused, and God meant all that for the eternal good of Joseph and all those children of Israel. You remember what he said to his brothers when they came and they were so fearful? We've mistreated our brother. He's going to get even with us. Oh, he's going to get even with us. And he said this to them, oh, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. All things do work together for good to them who love God. In the day of death, it'll be well. It'll be well for the righteous. Who says so? Who says so? This is not just me speaking. This is what God says in his word. It shall be well with the righteous. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why is it precious? Because we are redeemed with his precious blood. The revelation of Jesus Christ, these words are written, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. It shall be well with the righteous when they depart and to be with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For we are confident, I say willing, rather to be absent from the body, to be present from the Lord. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of death. Will God give you dying grace? Absolutely. Absolutely he will. Death to the believer. Death to the believer is not punishment. The Lord Jesus Christ has changed the character of death for the believer. Our Lord said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys. I have the keys of hell and death. He has the ownership. I've got a set of keys here. It's an old brown truck over here. It's mine. Own it. The Lord Jesus Christ has the keys of hell and death. Death to the believer is not punishment, it's promotion. Promotion. Don't weep for me. Our Lord said to those women, don't weep for me. You weep for yourself, but don't weep for me. You know, every time I had a funeral last week, one of our dear ladies passed away who'd been a founding member of the congregation there. And I usually quote this verse every time a believer dies. And our Lord, he prayed this in his priestly prayer. Father, I will that those you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Every time a believer dies, that prayer is answered. My Father, I will that those who you have given me be with me where I am. It shall be well with the righteous when they die and go to meet the Lord. And he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In the day of judgment it shall be well. No condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. John writes this. It's appointed unto men once to die after that judgment. But John writes this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world right now. How are we? God speaks from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God says that of every believer resting in Christ. He's well pleased with us in him. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It shall be well. What was that verse again? What does it say? Isaiah 3 verse 10. Say ye to the righteous. Say ye to the righteous. Say it. Tell it to them. Declare it to them. It shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of the doing. One more reading. I'm going to quit with this. Find Isaiah. I believe it is Isaiah 45. Turn over there. Let's see if this is it. Yeah. Isaiah 45. It says in the last part of verse 21, God said, there is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. The only just God and Savior, just and the justifier. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there's none else. I have sworn by myself, the word gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return unto me, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. That's picked up in Philippians 2, shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall man come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, made righteous, and shall glory. It shall be well with the righteous. He'll be ill with the wicked. I believe what God says. It'll be well with the righteous. Okay, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Thank you for the ministry here.